Bible is the inspired Word of God, there should be no problem with what I'm going to preach today. I'm not preaching anything to offend. I'm not preaching anything to discourage. I'm simply going to preach a biblical concept that I see that is being neglected in the modern church day that we live in. Now, there are several times in this message, and I don't know if I'll finish it all today, but there are several times in this message that I'll be referring to the pastor of a church and his role in his relationship with the church. And I can say anytime you preach about being faithful to the church and about a pastor and being faithful, it makes me awkward preaching that as a pastor. I'm just going to say that because I am the pastor. And sometimes people think you're up here trying to do this and do that. What I'm trying to do when I preach this today is not today. I would tell you to do this anywhere you go. I would say if you were a part of a church in another state or another country, I would tell this that look, when it comes to the church, the pastor, the relationship with the church and his people, it is something that is precious. It is something that God has given us. And it's something that we must live out in our lives. So I know here today when we get into this, I'm laying a foundation for us. I know today that Abundant Life Tabernacle is a hole in this church, and it seems that we set the bar very, very high for some. And they look at that sometimes, and I've had people say all the time, is it necessary to do this? Or is it necessary to do that? Or is it necessary to be faithful in this area or faithful in that area? And I know here at this church, because some look at this and say, is it always necessary? And I would say this to you, yes it is, that when it comes to the local church and preserving the purity of a local church and preserving the presence of God in a local church and wanting God to have His stamp of approval upon of a local church, it is important that we set the bar high and that we do our best to live the life that is pleasing, that God will sanction this sanctuary with His all wonderful and holy presence from heaven. We need the presence of God in our churches. We need the presence of God here every single service. And you've got to understand that what takes place on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, and a Wednesday night is a beautiful transaction between heaven and God's people. It is something that is precious. It is something to be protected. It's something to be loved and cherished. And we should never take that for granted. So look here today. I'm very excited about what God is doing here. I love every family, and I mean that today. I love every family that is here today. And I find myself at times even weeping with joy when somebody new comes. And I see God begin to work in lives. And it excites my heart. But also at times it shatters my heart when somebody leaves or to get offended. And I begin to search my heart and say, God, have I done everything that I could to make sure that I maintain a right relationship with that person? Because I realize this, that if somebody withdraws themselves from a local church or a local body, it will not be very long if they don't find themselves somewhere in another church that is a Bible-believing church. It will not be long before that person begins to lose out with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a fact. That is a principle. It is so critical for us to understand this, that we as a local church, that God sanctioned this group, that God called for us to gather ourselves together, and that is important. So I would ask you this question today. What comes to your mind when I say the word church? Go ahead and search your mind. What comes to your mind? Instantly, some people think pews and chandeliers and a building and songs and a message and a sermon. And that is all that comes to your mind when we say that's what the local church is. You have a very narrow view of what the church really is. Yes, we have pews. Yes, we have lights. Yes, we have a facility. Yes, we have songs and worship. Yes, we have preaching and sermons. But that is not what makes up the local church, my brothers and sisters. And I said this already. So we look at this, that sometimes people go to church because it's basically a habit from their childhood. And others go because it eases their conscience. You ever met anybody like that? Amen. Oh, I've been to church. I went to church. It's just like that young boy that came to Jesus and said, I kept all the commandments, Lord, from a youth. I was raised in it. I know about it. If that's all you've got, if this is a habit, if coming to church is a routine, if coming to church is just something that soothes your conscience and say, well, I went one time last week. I'm all right, but that's not what this is. You can come to church once a week and still be lost. You can come to church once a week and still not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come to church every Sunday service and still not enter into His presence. We've got to understand this, that the church has a purpose, and God has told us to gather ourselves together for a reason. Oftentimes I hear something along these lines in an age of such individualism. We hear something like this. They say, at a time when there's more Bible teaching than you could ever consume available through the radio, television, and the internet, why should it matter to me or you where I go when I'm taking in God's truth anyhow? You ever heard people say that? Well, I stay at home and listen to Joel Osteen. I stay at home and I listen. Look, I listen to Jimmy Swaggart. I ain't got to go to church. Really? If you think church is all it is a sermon, you don't know what church is. If you think coming to the house of God is just something that you don't have a clue what you're talking about. You've got to do more than have a personal devotion life. You cannot survive without the church. Hear me today. People say all the time, why should it matter? What's wrong with virtual, web-based congregations for the digital age truth? Why can't your iPod or your worship... Why can't your iPod be your worship leader? Why can't your tablet or iPad be your pastor and your friends and your fellowship be your accountability? And I've got a simple answer for you. The reason that cannot work is because that's not the way God designed it. Hear me. God did not design it to be that way. God has never designed for us to be some individual island sitting out there all by ourselves just getting a morsel of bread from a sermon somewhere. Oh, no. I'm telling you, when you come to the house of God, this is the body of Christ. This is the place that we come together and we love one another and we encourage one another and we stimulate one another and we worship with one another. We need each other in this, brothers and sisters. God has given us a local church for a reason. That you can be a part of a community that's going to keep you accountable, that'll going to keep you on the right track, that'll love you when you're hurting, that'll touch your needs and minister to you when you have needs. I told a woman this one time. She said, well, I don't go to church anywhere, but I listen to so-and-so on TV. I said, well, call him to pray for you. I didn't mean that meanly. But I mean this, they send their money that direction and they say that's all they need. But when they're going through trouble in their life and their family, they don't have nobody to talk to. So they got to call a local pastor to minister to them. One preacher said this to a lady. She said, well, I don't pay my tithes to church. I give to a minister on TV because he meets every need I have. And he said, well, where do you go to church at? Well, I go to church at the road here. But he said, where are you eating at spiritually? She said, well, I eat at the local church. That's where he said, it's like you eating at a buffet and going across the street to leave the tip. He said, it shouldn't be that way. Where are you feasting? Where is God feeding your soul? My brothers and sisters, you have to be a part of something that is local in your life. The New Testament repeatedly emphasizes the importance of the local assembly that you can survive and be what you need to be spiritually. I've heard people say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't think much of that church. You know, I ain't much for the church stuff. Do you know the church is the bride of Christ? Look, I love you all, but if you come to me and say, Brother Derek, I love you, but I can't stand your wife, I'm going to get offended. And I probably wouldn't say it too many times. I would have to leave. One of us would have to leave. And then, what about this? The church is the body of Christ. What if somebody come up to you and say, you know, I love you, but I just hate your body? How does that sound? You'd be offended. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's the same concept when it comes to the church. You can't say you love Jesus, but hate His bride. You can't say you love Jesus, but not be a part of the body. It functions together. It's that intimate. It's that precious. And that's what God wants us to understand here. So notice here today, when we read to you in the Bible, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That word provoke there means to stimulate. It actually reads like this, let us consider one another to stimulate each other and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hear me today, brothers and sisters. The local church is a place of intimacy. It's in that local body that one is committed, that there can be a level of intimacy that is required for carefully stimulating one another to good works. Hear me, brothers and sisters, because this is a lost principle nowadays. I not only come to church, I'm a pastor. I don't come to church because I have to. I come to church because I want to be here.
I worship because I love Him. And you have helped me, and I hope that I've helped you some. It's not just about a pastor getting up here and giving out and giving out and giving out. But I thank God for every one of you in this church that has taken, I've taken in from, and you've stimulated me to good works. I believe since I've been a pastor, you've helped make me a better man. But I hope that I've made you, I hope I've made you a better man or woman in your walk with God. It's because we do that. It's stimulating one another. It's loving one another. It's when your contagious worship affects the person across the pew. It's when you're going through a tough time and you go to somebody else and you embrace them and say, the church is here for you. We're in this together. That's what the local church is. I will say this to you. I find it a great tragedy when I've walked into bedrooms of dying men and women who did not have a local church. They're empty. Has anybody helped you? My kids want nothing to do with me. Where they took off years ago, and they just call me every now and then. I've seen them end up in nursing homes. How you do it? I have nobody living that loves me. And you grab the hand of a feeble man or woman, and you let them know, say, look, I know Jesus loves you. And you ask yourself, where did you go to church at? Well, I used to go every now and then to this church. I'm like, where is the church? What it is, they never committed themselves to it. They never really went there. They just visited occasionally. And then all of a sudden, when that need comes up, they have built no friendship. They have built no relationship. Church, we need each other. We need each other. It's a place of intimacy, as I already said. Not only that, it's a place of protection and care. The New Testament also teaches that every believer is to be under the protection and the nurture of the leadership of a local church. These godly men can shepherd the believer by encouraging and admonishing and teaching one another. Guess what, brothers and sisters? It's been in my walk with God that I've had older saints come to me in my old church and say something to me that really put me in my place. And what do? You're right, I'm sorry. It's because they're trying to protect you. When somebody tells you the truth, my brothers and sisters, nobody's trying to offend you. They're trying to nurture you. They're trying to protect you. They see and know the plans of the adversary. And there they say, look, I love you and I care for you. And they try to nurture you there. Notice this, not only that, the local church is a place of word and obedience. We notice in the Bible it speaks constantly when Paul is writing these letters to them. They're saying, look, I'm trying to reprove you. I'm trying to get the house in order that we can be obedient and preach the Word with each other. Where do you hear the Word of God at? It should be the local church. I don't know anything about this, and you can disagree with me if you want. That's fine. You ever heard of a satellite church? It's kind of a new thing, and I don't know anything about it. I'm just going to express my concern about it, and you can pray and feel what you want about it. It's when a church is so big that they build other little churches and they don't really have a local pastor in that church. They just have a big TV screen and you watch some other preacher preaching maybe 50 miles away. I thought to myself, what a detriment. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's something about a man or a woman of God when they get anointed behind a desk. I'm not talking about on a TV screen. I'm talking about when they get behind a desk and God sets them on fire with the Word. That's precious, that's personal, that's intimate at that time. I'm telling you, there's times God may lead us to lay hands on one in the service. I'm telling you, you can't do that through a TV screen. You can't do that at distance. You need to have something local in your life, something that is tangible. And thank God for the local church. It is the tangible body of Christ where God works and moves in our lives. Individualism is that idea that I can do it all by myself. The devil's a liar and you're believing his lies. We look at this and must understand that there was a time when coming to Christ meant coming to His church. Now, once again, that doesn't mean church is going to save you. But it means this, that if you're saved, you're going to want to go to church. It was used to in the days of old, in the days of revival, as far back even as the New Testament. Salvation brought you into union with a visible gathered body of Christ, and becoming a Christian meant entering into fellowship with the people of God. That is what becoming a Christian used to mean. It's when you got born again individually. But as an individual, you find people of like faith and you embrace one another and you lock arms with one another and you say, let's reach the world together. Let's do this. Let's worship God together. That's what it was all about. We look at this and must understand that's changed. We look at this and must understand the contemporary emphasis is in evangelism, is a believer's personal relationship to Christ and no personal accountability to absolutely anybody. It's my life. I'll do what I want to do. The Holy Ghost will never let you have that mentality. Not if you're where you need to be with God. God's always dealt. I know this is tight, but it's still right. Maybe quiet, but guess what? The Holy Ghost is here to say amen. You know why? Because the Bible says amen. It's one of those things. You cannot isolate yourself and expect to live in this realm of spiritual prosperity. You'll wither out. You'll dry up. We look at this, that contemporary idea of that personal, individual faith thing. Really, it is never really discussed nowadays. At best, we look nowadays, there's such a low emphasis on church involvement and church membership and being part of a family of God in the visible gathered household of the saints. Too many people today are just Christian consumers. They go somewhere as long as it does what they want. As soon as it disagrees, the person will find another church that will temporarily play into their hand until they disagree, and then they'll find another. I've seen church hoppers all over America. Church hoppers and grasshoppers are both pestilence. It's aggravating. There's a certain area in the state of confusion, and where it was where that there was a holiness church like on every street corner, if you know what I mean, in that town. I remember I preached a meeting somewhere and there was a gentleman there on front pew. Hey, Brother Derek, how you doing? How you doing, man? Say, I was doing good. I go preach another revival another month later, another meeting, or it was a Sunday. He's on the front pew of another church. Hey, Brother Derek, how you doing? I said, how you doing? Good to see you. God's good. Go to another church. He's on the front pew. I'm saying, what are you doing? Oh, I just travel everywhere. I said, what do you mean? You don't have nowhere that you've committed yourself to at all? Look, my friends, if it's at all possible in your life, be a part of a local church. There are situations that I understand that is difficult. I know, like Matt and Jessica, that military, that move around is difficult. I know that. But and different ones that are military family, it makes that difficult. I know that. But thank God they find a local church where they're at and feed their family. There's things like that you can't help. But if you're in an area, find a local church. And let God help you and your families. That I believe, I know that is the will of God in Scripture. So hear me today. Many people are those Christian consumers. In fact, they have little to no attachment at all, under no obligation to regular attendance. If they make it, they don't. If they don't make it, it's no big deal. And it's the idea of believers living independently of the church, and it's totally foreign to the New Testament. You'll never find the Bible saying that's all right. I'm going to give you a few things. We won't be much longer. Four things that the local church provides for you, and follow me. Fellowship, submission, identity, and the importance of loyalty. The local church provides, number one, fellowship today. Notice this. The word we translate as fellowship is essentially the word is interpreted partnership. Paul describes a partnership there in Galatians 2:9, where he said that he was given the right hand of fellowship. Basically here, we've got to understand that. That is what happens when you are part of a local church. The individual and the believer has all of a sudden publicly identified and partnered themselves with a local body. Church, hear me right here. This is a partnership. And we need each other. A partnership in the sense that when you get saved, that local church is now your partner in you living your life for Jesus Christ. It is a partner to you. And that's what happens. We look at Scripture. How can the people of God, I wonder, how can the people of God stimulate one another to love and good works if they do not come together? We are partners. We are in this together. Second thing is this, that the local church is a place of submission. Now, this ain't going to go over well with everybody. I know that. Some people have issues submitting to the authority of church. And I'm not just talking about a pastor. I'm talking about to the church. We live in an individual mindset today. This is where I use, when I'm dealing with a person and trying to help them and they really have come to me for help, I usually draw the line right here. And not that I quit praying for them, but I can't do no more. I'll call them up and say, I've missed you in church. I'm a grown man. I'm going to do what I want to do. Praying for you. Bye. Instantly there, what they've done, they put their chest out as me as a pastor and in the face of the church and said, look, leave me alone. I want to do what I want to do. All I can do there is leave a person in the hands of the Holy Ghost, because at that moment, you can't make nobody come to church. All you do is offend them. So all you let them know, say, I love you and I'm praying for you. And unless you're willing to submit yourself, not to me as an individual, but to the church and to Christ, I can no longer help you. Now, submission, notice this. As a pastor, I know I will have to give an account for people under my leadership. I know that. So it drives me to be persistent with people. What that means is, it means sometimes a phone call. It means sometimes, where you at? How you doing? How you doing spiritually? I can tell sometimes people are taken back spiritually when I'm counseling them. And first thing I ask them is, how are you doing spiritually? What? How are you doing? I've got your issues. I'm going to show you where the root is. How are you doing spiritually? My marriage, how are you doing spiritually? No, my wife, no, forget the wife, forget the marriage. I love your kids. Let's set all that to the side. How are you doing with the Lord? Well, I'm not reading and praying like I should. Start there. That's called submission. You either take that advice and you apply it to your life, or you can go on and be a miserable wreck the rest of your life. God can't sit there and put a Band-Aid on your gunshot wound and expect everything to get better. The bullet has to be extracted. And the only way that can happen is when the Holy Ghost deals and removes the bullet. And then it pours in the ointment that it can heal. That can only happen when you take advice, not from me, but biblical. So notice this. Every pastor faces the same burden for men and women under his care. But what good is a shepherd if a sheep will not submit to the authority and the advice? Let's follow this little lamb in my imaginary story. The lamb runs from the shepherd. And he says, look, little lamb, don't you go in them woods. There's wolves out there, and they'll kill you. And the little lamb looks back at the shepherd and said, oh, be quiet, Mr. Shepherd. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm telling you, it may not be today or tomorrow, friend. If you go out there and isolate yourself, you're going to be destroyed by the wolves. And all of a sudden, the little lamb does what he wants to do. The pastor steps back. He has pronounced the truth to that person. That's all that you can do. So submission to a local church body is crucial if we're going to live up to God's plan and pattern for the church. Hear this today. I know that there's illegitimate authority out there. I've met men that were not pastors, they were dictators. I met those. They didn't want to tell you what car to buy and which house to buy and all this. That's none of my business. Look, you can wear which tie you want to wear to church. I'm not going to tell you what to wear. In that sense, as far as like, oh, you got a dress? No, I tell you, look, there's a kingdom that you're in charge of, and there's the authority that I'm in charge of. I've seen illegitimate authority. I've seen the abuse where men are abusive and act like dictators and even play mind games from the pulpit. That's not my job. My job, what biblical authority is, and the only biblical authority I have, it comes from the Word of God and from the Holy Ghost. And there's times in my life where I don't have direction to give somebody. Except what the Word says. I just say, read the Bible. And there's other times that God will give me a word from heaven and I'll tell a person, and that's up to them what they do with it. I've had people, you give them godly advice that you hadn't heard from heaven. You just read the Bible. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. You say, look, quit fornicating. Did God tell you that? Yeah, the Bible said it. Hey man, sometimes people always want to go, should I quit? Yeah, you should quit it. The Bible says it. You don't have to wait for an angel to come down and twist my... I'm waiting for the pastor to come to me and I'll... Who are you kidding? God ain't going to sit here and drive me crazy over something you've already read in the Bible. But there is times I've had in my life that God has spoken to me about something. There's sometimes somebody comes to me. It's an area that really, unless I have advice from heaven, I can't really say yes or no. So I'll tell them this. I'll pray about it. And as I pray about it, if God didn't give me a clear direction, I'll tell them, what has God told you? What have you prayed about individually? I'm not some man that can pull a rabbit out of the hat to make it up. I'm not a policeman. I'm not a traffic cop. I can't follow you home. I can just pray, read the Bible, and give you the best advice I can. And unless God gives me a special revelation, there's some things you've got to pray and know from heaven yourself. There's times when God has gave me direction on a certain direction, certain direction on a thing, and I say, look, don't go that way. They'll say, "Well, I'm not sure. I'm telling you, don't go that way. I know what God's dealt with my heart about. I've watched them walk down the paths of destruction. Not that it was my word, but that God had given me a word for that person. And I've watched them fall in the ditch in the wayside. And you have to pick them up and try your best to restore what God and what the enemy has shattered in their life." So that is what biblical authority is. So notice this. And how should believers respond to that kind of authority? Hebrews 13 and 17 says this: "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy, not grief." You read that, it should be something in my life that is a joyous thing to help be a shepherd to the sheep. It's not always joyous. It's up to you and myself. Let me say it this way. Like I said, once again, you preach about the position of a pastor and you're a pastor, and it's almost like, it's just like when a preacher preaches about money. They're like, "Oh, don't preach about money, preacher." It's one of those things that's none of his business. Yes, it is my business. Do you know a lot of things are God's business that we say is not His business? Adam and Eve's in the garden. Okay, "Adam, where art thou?" None of your business. It is God's business. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Nathan, prophet comes. What if David said, "It's none of your business"? It is God's business. Oh, what about the, I forget the gentleman's name that stole the vineyard there in the book of Kings. And then we know Elijah come along there. None of your business. Yes, it is God's business. Church, hear me today. It is God's business. And you must get that in your mind today. So hear me. As we look at this, we're going to move into our third section. Membership is not only submission. Membership is identity. Now, I want you to follow this important point right here. Our society is suffering from an identity crisis. You hear me? There is something going on. And up here, church, it's just a baby. You've seen him before. Amen. Look at this. It's an identity crisis. It's one of those things that we must understand this. That it's one of those things that we get this collectively and individually. People today don't have a strong sense of who they are or what they want. People isolate themselves. It's one of those things that you must get this in your mind today. Who you are as a Christian. A Christian resembles and is a part of a church. You hear me? What's your identity today? I know this, that you can go up the road to a church that will preach half the message and give you the same promise. I know that. And they'll let you identify in every area with them. And you say, "Well, I'm getting the same thing they're preaching." No, you're not. There's something about being a part of a church that preaches truth. And it's one of those things that you've got to understand, that you've got to identify with them. Christians don't need to struggle with that kind of identity crisis. We've been redeemed, claimed by Jesus, brought into the family and being transformed into His likeness. And that is a glorious truth. This truth describes the spiritual state of every believer. We are no longer isolated and alone. The Lord has brought us with a price and granted us into His family. And that's what I'm a part of, and that's what I identify with. This is the problem we have nowadays. And that, like I said, this is a message all in love. We have people all the time that never want to identify with God's people. It's enough just to say that they're saved. But what about becoming a part of a church and being a part of His people? That identity, we must understand, is something that Paul only warned Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. It's one of those things you cannot be ashamed of it. The best indication of your priorities is how and where you spend your time and energy, whether it's a political movement, a school board, a neighborhood committee, or a fan club. Some people are more identify more with the local school than they do their church. Hear me, brothers and sisters, and I mean this once again, all in love. If you take this wrong, it's between you and God. There was one point it used to be in America, that you could say the church was your life. Hear me. It was one of those things. You became a part of the church, and the church was considered to be an integral part of your life. You ever heard of a youth camp for children? You know what? That it was a part of the church. You remember where we used to educate a lot of our minds of our children? The church. You know where we shape their worldview? The church. If there was anything out there that contradicted that, we would say, "Look, we better withdraw from that before we withdraw from the church." Nowadays, we will withdraw from the church so quick and identify with everything else that'll never be the mind of God. Never be the mind of God. Last thing here. Membership is loyalty. We look at this church, being a part of a church is really not optional as far as in the sense of being a part of a church locally. Admittedly, there is no verse in the Bible that commands us that you have to sign a dotted line. I'm not saying you have to sign a dotted line, but I will say this. You better be attached to a local body where people are loving you and taking care of you. Look, everybody here today, I love you all. Thank you for being here. But we've got to help each other. I'm seeing such a drawing away from the church as my wife comes to the piano as we're about to close. The unity within God's heavenly household requires loyalty both to Him and His people. Stand to your feet all over the church. We look at this and we must understand this today, church. That the way that this works, that as a pastor of this church, do you know that I am accountable to you? Do you know that? I'm not only accountable to God, I am accountable to you. But do you know that when you are a part of a congregation or a body of believers, not only are you accountable to God, but you're accountable to the leadership. That's the way God intended this. I'm not an individual, and you're not an individual. We're a part of the body of Christ. And that's a glorious thing. That's a wonderful thing. So we look at this today. Does the local church matter? Yes, it does. Do I know that we are living in an age where there's churches on every corner? Do I believe it's hard to find churches that preach truth? I do believe that. I know there's a false message. I know there's compromised messages. But I would say this to you, church. We need each other. When I first got saved, I'll share this with you and we'll close in just a moment. When I first got saved, I remember, you know, it was one of those things. I got saved and my first desire is to please the Lord. You find yourself just hungry to be in the house of God. I realized something. There was times I had a horrible day at work. I would walk through those doors on church on a Wednesday night and begin to sing the songs of Zion in joy and peace. And you know, sometimes it wasn't even that I felt that good in my body, but I looked over there at Sister So-and-so in the presence of God, just worshiping God, and it did something for me. I'll never forget this. One time I was dating a girl that was in church. And wouldn't it be one of those things that I'm dating a girl and somebody comes up to me in church and leadership and said, "Well, have you prayed about it? Did God tell you it's the right one?" I began to pray. Guess what? Get rid of her, Derek. You know where that was stimulated from? A godly person that just simply stimulated my heart and said, "Won't you pray about that a little more? What if I didn't go to the local church and I did what I wanted and I dated who I wanted and all of a sudden there was nobody there to help police my life and all, I just did everything I just wanted to do?" Thank God for people that were there. Partnership. There's been other times God's done great things to other people. I would say this, that when we look at this, we learn to pray together. Love one another. Grow with one another. That is what the local church is all about. We're missing it, church, nowadays. When I say we're missing it, I'm talking about the church world as a whole. We need one another. And God's so faithful and true to all of us. What I want to do today, can all the women gather on this side of the church and the men on this side?